Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Pastor Vic's Nuggets of Truth. And today we're going to be beginning to talk about when Jesus whispers into your ear. And that's so important concept to realize that God is speaking to us through His Holy Spirit. And when God speaks to us, it's because He has a plan and a purpose for our life, and He's giving us direction for our life. So before we get there, I just want to remind you that you can find Pastor Vic's Nuggets not only on Facebook, but you can find it on YouTube. And of course, you can go to my website, PastorVicsNuggets.com, where you can get all kinds of free resources to help you with your ministry. So having said that, let's move on. One of the areas that's really truly a revelation for me is John chapter 10. And I encourage you to look that up for yourself. But you know that John chapter 10, Jesus is speaking, and Jesus says that my sheep follow me, and they follow me because they know my voice. They won't follow the voice of a stranger, but they know my voice and they follow me. And so the truth of that scripture in John chapter 10, the Gospel of John, is that Jesus was saying that I'm going to continue to speak to you. When he was speaking to his disciples, he was physically speaking to him, of course, as Jesus Christ. But when Jesus ascended to be with the Father, he sent his Holy Spirit down to us so that he would continue to speak to us if we would simply have ears to hear to what he is saying. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, the Apostle Paul speaks about spiritual gifts. And this is what he says, again, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, he says, I do not want you to be ignorant of these spiritual truths. And that word ignorant doesn't mean stupid or foolish. Ignorance simply means you don't know. When you don't know something, that means you're ignorant of that fact. Well, the scriptures, you often use the word darkness to represent that ignorance. When you don't know, when you can't see the truth or you don't know the truth. And so with that framework, we're going to continue to look at how God speaks to us. Because I think you would agree with me that is so important in our relationship with him. To know that he wants to speak to us, that we can hear him, and that when we speak, we know that he hears us. Now, in Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 12, he says the following. The Apostle Paul writes this, and he says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. We're qualified because of Jesus Christ in us, because we were born again. And it says he's qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. See, the light is the opposite of darkness. The light is revelation, whereas darkness is ignorance. And it goes on to say, he has delivered us from the power of that darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Wow, how powerful that is. So when we're in Christ, our eyes have been opened, our ears have been opened, and we have the capacity, the ability to hear God and to see him working in our lives. Now, of course, it's a faith operation. If we can't lean on our own physical understanding, but we walk by faith and not by sight. We know that Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says that it's impossible to please God without faith. Now, when we talk about the Bible, we often refer to it as the Word. And we know that the author of the Bible, of course, is the Holy Spirit of God. Scripture tells us that every word in the Scriptures is God-breathed. It's God-inspired. And in a practical sense, the way we come to that is through the teaching and the preaching of the Word, through the study of the Word, as well as through the way God will order circumstances in our life that line up with what the Word has to say. Now, I want you to notice that I've emphasized the term Word. Now, we understand that the Word in this sense means the Word of God, the Scriptures. However, did you realize that the term Word while used about 230 times in the New Testament, can mean two different things. The Greek language uses two different words, but they're related for the definition of the term word. And the first one is the word logos. And when we talk about the logos, what we're talking about is we're talking about this. This is the logos word of God. The words that are inscribed in our Bibles are inspired by God and God directed, and they apply to all believers. It's not that some apply to some and then some of the scripture applies to others. No, all believers are subject to the words of the Bible. In other words, we could use the word, the logos is the objective word. It has broad application and applies to all. Now, there's a second word that we also find in the Bible, and it's translated simply as word, but that is the word rhema. And the rhema word is subjective. And the rhema word is described as an utterance. So what do we mean by an utterance? Well, what we mean is that it's something that is spoken. And it's what's unique about the utterance is that it is spoken for a certain situation, a certain time, and it's supported by the spirit of the scriptures. So logos is objective. We read and we all agree that the word is true. Rhema is when we hear the word being repeated to us because the Holy Spirit is trying to give us direction or a path to walk in to help us make a decision. And so while the logos is for all time, the rhema is for specific times and situations. Now, what am I trying to say here? What I'm trying to say is that when you sense that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, that's the rhema word. And the rhema word is literally God speaking to you. And generally, when we get a rhema word, we're talking about direction for our life. Now, Paul the Apostle demonstrates the power of the Holy Spirit and the rhema word, even though he recognized his own weaknesses. Listen to what 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1 says. See, Paul's giving his testimony as to the guidance he receives from the Holy Spirit. And he says in verse 1, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimonies of God." In other words, what Paul was saying is that I didn't come with smooth talk. I didn't come with attractive styling, but I came, here's an expression. What you see is what you get. And then he goes on in verse 2. He says, "For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." In other words, what he was saying is, I didn't come to tickle your ear. I didn't come to preach an attractive message to you. I came to you with the bold message of Jesus Christ, him crucified, and all that he accomplished on the cross for us. And then in verse 3, he says, "I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling." In other words, what Paul was saying, I'm sure we've all experienced that, where we're trying to move into things of God, but we're uncertain or we're fearful or we're looking at our past and thinking, you know, am I qualified to do this? Listen to me, my brother. Listen to me, my sister. With the Holy Spirit in you, as a born-again believer, you are more than qualified and you are more than able. In verse 4, he says, "And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." In other words, what Paul is saying is that I move because I hear what the Spirit is saying to me. Remember the words of Jesus. Jesus said, "I only do what my Father shows me to do. I only say what my Father shows me to say." Well, Paul was saying now that I only do and I only say what the Spirit shows me. And The reason for that is that when that begins to happen, then there's the power of the Holy Spirit is then released and God's glory can be manifested. And then verse 5 is so important. Because Paul is speaking to people with the love of God. And he says, in verse 5, he says, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Hallelujah. You see, we're called to demonstrate God's power. We're called to be messengers of Christ. We're called to be led by the Holy Spirit so that people would see that it's not about you, but it's about Christ in you. You know, too many times we have an audience or we have a pulpit or we have a stage to speak to people, and we're more concerned about them liking us than speaking truth. You see, it's the truth that sets free. And so we want to recognize that when we're being led by the Spirit of God, when we're in that relationship where we hear from Him, where we continually communicate with Him, and we've demonstrated that we are correctly hearing Him, because when we move in His direction, incredible things begin to happen. The power of the Holy Spirit is made manifest. And when the power of the Holy Spirit is made manifest, it should take the focus off of you and place the focus upon Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. The Father has opened communication with His children. And we see that as we continue on in 1 Corinthians 2, beginning in verse 9. See, God has given us the ability through the Holy Spirit to discern, to understand, and to act upon His word. And by word, meaning that which is the scripture, that's the, remember, logos word, or the word from the Holy Spirit, which is the scriptures being repeated or brought to our memory, or the principles brought to our memory from the Bible. And so as we begin to learn how to do that, here's the promise, beginning in verse 9. The Apostle Paul says, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. You see, what Paul is saying, it's not by your physical senses of seeing, hearing, or the mind. But as we see in a moment, it's spiritual. And we need to remember that we are spiritual beings, the Holy Spirit living and dwelling in us. Then verse 10 says, but God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. The things that we desire to see with our natural senses, God gives us through revelation. We know from the inside out that what God is saying. We know from the inside out that it's true. And then He goes on to say, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. You see, because the Holy Spirit and God are one, then that means that we can know the mind of the Father by developing that relationship with the Father through the Holy Spirit. Then verse 11 gives us a practical example. And verse 11 says, for what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man, which is in him? In other words, you know what's inside of you because of the Spirit that is in you. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. By the same token, the Holy Spirit, as I said a moment ago, is in union with the Father. Then verse 12 says, for we have not received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, the Holy Spirit, sent by Jesus to be our comforter, to be our teacher, to be our guide, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Verse 13 says, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches. See, that's what Paul was saying earlier. You know, I'm not coming in human wisdom, but I'm coming in the power and authority of the Holy Spirit. So not in man's wisdom, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Then verse 14 says, but the natural man, that is the person who is not born again, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Amen? Does that make sense? That only the Spirit in you can discern the Spirit of God. And the natural man who is not born again doesn't have the Spirit of God in him or her, and therefore can't discern or understand spiritual things. Then verse 15 says, and he's talking about us, but he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of God? Amen. That he may instruct him. And then it goes on to say, but we have the mind of Christ. All of this means that when we are born again, the Holy Spirit comes to live in us. We know that. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the evidence. It is the proof. It is the seal that we are born again. And because our spirit man has been made alive in Jesus Christ, we're able to communicate spirit to spirit with God. And that's why Jesus could say, as we said earlier in John 16, verse 13, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you of things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. God wants to communicate with you. He wants to communicate with you through his word. No doubt about that. Please don't misunderstand me. But we also need to recognize that there are times and situations where we have to make decisions. And God's Spirit, who lives in you, will communicate to you what you need to do, what you need to say, when you need to stand, when you need to resist the enemy and declare the righteousness of God. You see, God is for you. He loves you. And he has equipped you with his Holy Spirit so that you can resist all that the enemy has to throw at you and proclaim and give glory to the Father who sent Jesus for you. And he died on the cross. But he died on the cross and rose again. And when he rose again, he ascended into heaven, but he sent his Holy Spirit down to live and dwell in you. And so I encourage you, my brothers, I encourage you, my sisters, to walk in all that he has for you. Don't limit yourself to just simply your natural understanding about things, but realize that God wants to give you revelation knowledge of who he is and what he wants to do in your life. We're going to continue this in our next episode, so I look forward to seeing you the next time. God bless you. We'll see you then.